All right, Shavuot, say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Mem Gimel 43. We are picking up on Mem Beis Amud Beis 42b. Let's actually pick up a little bit before from where we left off. We'll pick up at Ibai Lahu on Mem Beis Amud Beis 42b. It's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 20. Okay. Couple lines, 22 lines up from the bottom. It's okay, we read part of this case already, but we'll just pick up in Meretz Hashem from the beginning. Our shir this morning is dedicated, all of our shirim this month are dedicated by our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Kislev, Josh and Becca Friedman, Le'ili Nishmas Josh, his father Yisrael Yehuda, Ben Rav Chaim Rifal on the occasion of his first yard site, and Sammy and Malka Esterson, Le'ili Nishmas, their parents, Yitzchok Le'ben Aaron HaKohen, Sarah Rachel Bas Baruch, and Hinda Bas Henach Ephraim. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshamas will have an aliyah, and the families a Nechama. And also with that, let us begin. So the Gemara said, Ibai Lahu, we ask the following question. I'm sorry, just lost the place. Ibai Lahu, Makom Nevelas of Tar Baluahavi Obeis Astar Mavi. Just remember again, we started with this yesterday. So yesterday we began to make this distinction between Tuma Balua and Tumas Beis Hastarim. So Tuma Balua means Tuma that is totally hidden, totally obscured from sight, versus Tumas Beis Hastarim means it's hidden, but still potentially at least partially visible. What's the nafkamina? So Tuma Balua is not metame at all. Not metame at all. Tumas Beis Hastarim, although may not be metame with maga, may still be metame with masa. So now we're applying those concepts over here in some of these cases. So Ibai Lahu. Makom nevelas of tar balua havi obeis astarim havi. So we know that nevelas of tar, as we saw in yesterday's daf, only conveys tuma when it's being swallowed. So the shaila is when it's being swallowed, when it's in the throat, is that considered to be tumas beis astarim or tuma balua? The main nafkamina kigon shetachav lo chaveru kizayis nevela l'soch pib. So we'll say, so the nafkamina would be in the following case: right, Reuven puts a piece of nevelas of tar into Shimon's throat. If you want to say it's tuma balua, tuma balua lo matamya. So tuma balua cannot convey tuma. Ela, I amrit beis hastarim havi. But if you say that it's tuma beis hastarim, he de bemaga lo matame. Even though again it won't be matame bemaga, however matame miha. I'm sorry, bemasa miha matamya. But ultimately, again, it'll still convey tumas masa. Abayim also see machlokis you saw yesterday. Abai Omer Balua, Abai says this is Tuma Balua, but Rava Abba, and Rava said, Tumas Beis Hastarim. So Abai said that it's Balua, Rava said that it's Beis Hastarim. Amar Abai Menamila, so Abai said, from where do I know this? This Sanya, Yochol Tei Nevelas, O Nevelas Behema, Metame Begodim Abeis Abliya. You might have thought that Nevelas Behema would also be Metame a person's clothing when he swallows it. Tamalomar Nevela Utrefa Lo Yochal. So we'll say the pasuk says in the veil and the trefa you can't eat. Litama ba, in order to ultimately again become tame. Mi she'in la toma ella achilasa. So ultimately again, I will say this comes to exclude someone who this comes to exclude tuma, a form of tuma that can only be conveyed through consumption. Yatsa sazu shetmea kodem shiochlena. This comes to exclude nevela, a regular nevela spehima, which could convey tuma ultimately again even before it's consumed, even through maga. V'tisi v'kavachomer. And I will say ultimately again, let's learn this out through a kavachomer min nevelas oftar. Uma nevelas oftar she'in la tuma bochutz yesh la tuma bifnim. So we'll say if a nevelas oftar, which does not convey tuma, bachutz, which means we'll say if you touch a nevelas oftar, you do not become tame. The only way nevelas oftar conveys tuma ultimately is how? Is through being swallowed. Yet yesh la tuma bifnim. Zu she'in la tuma bachutz. This other item that does not have tuma b'chutz should certainly have tuma b'fnim. Amar kra ba. Therefore, the pasuk says ba v'lo b'acher. So it teaches us that this applies only to nevelas oftar and not to anything else. Im kein ma tamud lomar v'ha ochel. If that's the case, why does the pasuk add in this phrase va ochel? Litein shir l'nogia u'l'nosi k'ochel. It will say to teach me that there is a shir that ultimately, again, an object will only convey tuma if touched and if carried, if it's like an item that is consumed. Namely what? Ma'ochel b'kizayis, just like the Shira Achila Zekizayis, Af No Gea Vinose Bekizayis. So it's actually interesting halacha that even items that convey tuma only through contact or through being carried also require a shear. What's the shear? They only convey tuma if there is a kizayis intact. Okay, Amirava, Sheretz Bekumto. So I say another interesting case. Remember, we're just going through these cases where there is a nafkamina between tumas beis hastarim and tuma balua. So here's the next case, Sheretz Bekumto. Let's say a person has a sheretz in his armpit. So I say, so what's talacha? Tar. Ultimately, again, he will be tar. Well, we'll see why this is in just a moment, right? Well, it's going to be tar. Nevela Bekumto. But if he has a nevela in his armpit, then tameh. Ultimately, it'll be tameh. Sheretz Bekumto tar. So why is it that if there's a sheretz in the armpit, that ultimately again is tar? Sheretz Benegihu Dimitamyo. Because remember, again, a sheretz conveys tuma through mago, through contact. Ubeis hastarim lav bar magohu. And when that sheretz is in the armpit, that is called tumas beis hastarim. Tumas beis hastarim is not subject to tumas mago. Nevela, on the other hand, nevela bekumto tameh. If you have nevela in your armpit, it's tameh. Nehi tibemagalo matamyo, because even though, again, because it's in the armpit, it's not going to cause tumas mago. However, bemasa miha matameh. But ultimately, again, nevela is also subject to tumas masa, and tumas beis hastarim is still subject to tumas masa. Sheretz bekumto bechnisu la'avir atanur. What happens if a person has a sheretz in their armpit and they insert their armpit with the, or their arm with the armpit into an oven, into an earthenware oven? So let's remember again, earthenware oven ultimately becomes tummy me'aviro, right? Becomes tummy through its airspace. So now remember again, technically speaking, if you were to dangle a sheretz into the airspace of an earthenware oven, the earthenware oven will become tummy. Now the sheretz is in the armpit, which is being inserted into the oven. So the shayla is, what's the status of the oven? So the Gemara says, tummy, the oven is tummy. So pshita, the Gemara says, that's obvious. Ma'udatema, why is it not so obvious? Why would I have thought, tocho amarachmana? The Torah says that the sheretz has to be inside of the oven in order to convey tuma, below, top of mem gimel, below tocho, but not inside of something else. So in this case over here, where the sheretz is in the armpit, it's inside the armpit, and then that's being inserted into the oven. I might have thought that doesn't convey tuma. Kamashon, that's not the case. Kamashon, even though the sheretz is in the armpit, because the armpit is in the oven, the sheretz is in the oven, and therefore the sheretz conveys tuma to the earthenware oven. So we'll say, so again, the principle that's coming out over here is as follows. Tuma balua, right? Tuma balua, which means tuma that is totally obscured from view, is not metame. Tumas beis hastarim, right, which is partially obscured tuma, ultimately, again, can convey tumas masa, but not tumas maga. So the clearest example of that is this case over here, where let's say, again, you have the sheretz in the armpit does not convey tuma, right, because the armpit is ultimately, again, going to be tuma balua or tuma, even tuma beis hastarim, right? Because again, the sheretz conveys tuma with maga versus the nevela, which can convey tuma with masa. Good. Says the Gemara. Amar Shlagish kana bekumto shel zav v'hesed bo asatar. Another interesting case. The zav is holding a kana. Kana is a reed. So as you can imagine, he's holding a reed in his armpit. So he's holding a reed in his body with the armpit. And what does he do? V'hisit bo satar. And he uses the reed to push someone who is tar. Now, listen, remember again, one of the ways that a zav conveys tuma is what's called tumas hesit. Right? Hesit means that if he pushes on something, he causes something to move that conveys tuma. So what's talacha? So kana bekumto shel zav. So the reed is in the armpit of the zav, and he uses it to go ahead and push the tar. So what's talacha? Tar. Ultimately, again, the tar person remains tar. Kana bekumto shel tar vehesed boaz hazav. But if a tar person has a reed in his armpit and he uses that reed to go ahead and push the zav, then what? Tame. Ultimately, again, the tar person will become tame. My time. What's the reason for this? The Amar Krav Chalashe Yigo Bahazav, the Yadav Lo Shataf Bamayim. Because the pasuk says, anything that the Zav will touch, if he did not go ahead literally and rinse his hands with water. What does this refer to? Zeu hesito shel Zav. So I will say, this idea, this pasuk, kol hashe yugo ba Zav, the Gemara is understanding, doesn't actually mean direct contact. Rather, what does it mean? Heset. It means ultimately, again, that the Zav is causing something to move without direct contact. Shalom atzino lo tuma b'chala Torah kula. Because we also we don't find this type of tuma anywhere else in the Torah, right? We just simply do not find this type of tuma anywhere else in the Torah. Va'afki rachmana b'lashon negia, and yet the Torah, when discussing tuma's hesed, uses a lashon of negia, of contact. L'meimra the hesed unegia kiyadav, to teach us that what, that hesed and negia, right, are the same. They both are compared to the hands. Mahasa me'avrai, just like Rabbi said, physical contact means something external. Afhacha me'avrai. So to, again, for Tumas Heset to occur, it must be something external as well. Which means what Rabbi said, as opposed to what? As opposed to when the reed is in the armpit. When the reed is in the armpit, ultimately, again, there's part of it that's not visible. And therefore, halacha lemaisa doesn't convey Tumas Heset. Okay. Aval azavu balkeri, einu matam. So let's remember again. So the Mishnah said over here, that a Zavin Balkari will only be Tamei when? Ad shetetze tumasan luchutz. As opposed to Nida, who ultimately again can become Tamei while the blood is still inside of her body, Zav and the Balkari only become Tamei when the emission exits the body. So says the Gemara, Zav dichsev, from where do I know Zav? Because the Pasuk is by Zav, ki ezov, mibsaro. The Pasuk says, when it literally flows from his body, ad sheyetze zovo mibsaro. So also you have a pretty explicit Pasuk over here. Ki ezov mibsaro means that he's only Tamei when the emission leaves his body. Balkari dichsev, what about by a Balkari? V'ish ki tetze mimenu shechvas zera. So we'll say, so both by Zav, Zav mibsaro means it flows from his flesh. Keri, both tell us that what? That Allah said these emissions are not metame until ultimately again the emission leaves the body. Next, Haya Ochel B'chuma V'hirgish. So must remember again, therefore the Mishnah has a very interesting application. Because a man only becomes a Balkari when the Zera leaves his body, therefore what happens if you have a situation where a Kohen is eating Truma and he feels that he's going to have a seminal emission? So what does he do? Rashi, so the Gemara says, I'm sorry, the Mishnah said, Ochez ba'ama ubolea. Literally again, he goes ahead and he holds on to the makom mila, right? Finishes what he's eating, and then allows the zera to exit his body. So says the Gemara, Haya ochel b'truma v'hergish. So the Gemara says, Ochez, is a person allowed to hold on to the makom mila in order to present? We actually had this Gemara already. Is a person allowed to go ahead and hold himself in order to go ahead and prevent the zera from coming out? Vatanya, we learned, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, kala ochez ba'ama umashtin, ki'ilu mevi ma'boli olam. Yet again, Rabbi Loza says that whoever touches himself, whoever holds himself by the makomila, even while urinating, it's as if he brought a mabul to the world. Remember, we had this Gemara before. What are we concerned about? We're concerned that if a person touches himself, it's going to go ahead and lead to arousal. That arousal itself will lead to a wasteful seminal emission. So how could the Mishnah give this itzah that a person should hold himself, right, prevent the zera from coming out? Can't that potentially lead to arousal and wasteful seminal emission? So Amar Abaye, Abaye says, b'matlis ava. What are we talking about? Where ultimately the case in the Mishnah over here of the coin who's eating truma feels the zera about to come out, holds himself, right, holds himself, the zera doesn't come out. Ultimately, again, how is he holding himself? Literally, matlis ava means a thick cloth. A thick cloth. Rashi says, she'eno mischamemes. A thick cloth in a way that there's no concern about arousal. Rava Amar Rava says, afilotem matlis raka. Even if it's a thin cloth, it's different over here. Kevan de akar akar. And also remember again, Rava says, there's no concern about arousal leading to a wasteful seminal emission. We'll say this man, right, is already going to emit zera. Remember, the case over here is where he feels that ultimately, again, the zera is going to come out. So again, the issue over here is holding off, ultimately, again, until he could finish the truma. That's the goal over here. Right? So therefore, again, there's no concern that if he holds himself, it's going to result in some kind of arousal. because what's done is done. It's just a question of delaying the emission. Abai is concerned that, one second, it could very well be that even if a person touches himself in this kind of situation, there could be additional arousal, and that additional arousal could cause the additional emission of semen, of zera. Verava la sufe lo chayish. Rava says we're not concerned that ultimately, again, by touching himself over here, that is going to lead to additional wasting of zera. To which the Gemara said, "Vahatanya." But we learned, "Lemaze dome." Rabbi said, "To what can this be compared?" "Lenosin etzba ba'ayim." Rabbi says, "Remember again, we had this Gemara before that this is compared to someone who puts their finger in their eye." She calls man she etzba ba'ayin midamas v'chozeres umidamas. Rabbi says, meaning what? That if you put your finger in your eye, so I say, so it's not the pshat that once you put your finger there, oh, I might as well leave it there. It's not going to make an impact anyway. No, the longer you leave your finger in your eye, the more you tear, right? The more damage that's done. So that this is the metaphor for the idea that even if a person is aroused, they could create more arousal, which could then go ahead and create for more wasted zera. So therefore, again, even if in this case, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is, even in a case like this, where ultimately the kohen feels that the zera has been dislodged and it's going to come out of his body, he's just delaying the emission, we should still be concerned that if he touches himself, it could also ultimately result in the wasting of more zera. To which the Gemara says, "Varava kol achamumi v'hadar achamumi b'shaitei lo shchiach." And Rava says, essentially, again, there's a physiological issue over here. Once we're talking about a case where the man already feels that the zera is going to come out, right? So again, the lashon that they're using is this idea of the zera being like dislodged and ready to come out. So once that's going to happen, there's no further arousal that's going to go ahead and take place over here. The zera that's going to come out is going to be the zera that's going to come out. So that's what it means. Achamumi v'hadar achamumi b'shaite. This idea of additional arousal at a time when an emission is already going to occur, Rava says this physiologically doesn't occur. Therefore, again, in a case like this, although we would normally say that we're very vigilant and careful, we saw the Shulchan Aruch, that even when a person is urinating, a person has to be careful about touching themselves. We saw this in Halacha. But again, in a situation like this, where the zera is going to come out already, right? The arousal is done, the zera is going to come out already. And this is just a question, ultimately, again, of delaying the actual emission until he could finish the truma that is in his mouth. So apparently in this case, we're not concerned for any additional or further arousal. Amr Shmuel. Shmuel said, "Kol shichva zera she'in kol gufo margish ba, eino matamer." This is very interesting. So Shmuel says as follows, not every seminal emission makes a person tame. Right? So Shmuel says, the only type of seminal emission that makes a person tame is when a person feels that emission throughout his body, which Rabbi says is another way of saying only when a person experiences the sensation of that emission throughout his body. If he doesn't feel that, then ultimately, again, that type of seminal emission is not metame. My time, why is that? Shichvas zera amrachmana bereuya lahazria. So Rabbi says this is very interesting. So the Gemara darshins over here, what type of shichvas zera is metame? Only the type of shichvas zera that has the capacity ultimately, again, to impregnate. And therefore, again, I will say, apparently, again, what type of zera has the ability to impregnate? Only the type of zera, essentially what we're going to see is they're describing a zera that comes out with force. They just have different ways of describing what type of force we're talking about. So one understands the force to be the force of physical sensation, that a person feels that emission right throughout their body. In other words, it's a full body sensation. And that's Shmuel. We're going to see it. Meisve, the Gemara says, Hayim harer balayla. If a person was thinking about illicit things, hirurim at night, va'amat umatza besarocham, and ultimately, again, he finds that besarocham literally means, Rashi says, avaro, right? He finds his aver warm, which in other words means that ultimately, again, he finds himself in a state of arousal, tame. Ultimately, again, he's tame. Why? Because we assume that he had an emission at night. Rafuna says, no. B'mishamish mitasol b'chalomo. That's only if he was thinking about, right? If he was thinking about relations. So if he was thinking about relations, and he wakes up and he finds himself aroused, then there's a concern ultimately again about an emission. Why? The afshal shamish below hargasha. Because ultimately, again, in that type of situation, we assume that an emission occurred. And if the emission occurred, it occurred with a hargasha. And the only reason that he doesn't remember that full body experience is because he was sleeping. Lishnachrina Amar Shmuel. So we'll say this is a different lashon. In this version, Shmuel says any time, in order for the zera to be metame, the zera has to come out of the body with force. Literally, again, yorikichetz means it shoots like an arrow. If it doesn't shoot like an arrow, ain't a metame. It does not go ahead and convey tuma. So the Gemara says, Ma'ika behailish. So we'll say, so now we have two different versions of Shmuel. In the first version of Shmuel, in order for the Sheikh Vazir to become Tameh, ultimately again, it has to be experienced throughout the body. According to the second approach, Lishna Achrina, ultimately again, it's the Yorek Echeit. It has to shoot out, has to come out like an hour, as opposed to a trickle. Now remember, again, the Zera coming out with the trickle is also a different issue, because one of the psule kal is what's called the krus shafcha, right? And one of the signs of a krus shafcha, ultimately again, is a man who cannot emit zera with force, but rather the zera itself just simply trickles out. So Shmuel says, the common denominator is only the type of zera that is capable of impregnating ultimately goes ahead and causes tuma. Two different versions in Shmuel as to what type of zera that is. Ma'ika b'nai l'shalai. So what's really the nafkamina here? So the Gemara says, Ika b'nai hu nekra b'hargasha v'yasa shalo b'hargasha. So what's is actually interesting. The nafkamina would be in the following case. What happens if, when ultimately, again, the man feels that the zera is going to come out. In other words, so he feels that throughout his body. But when the zera itself comes out of the body, it does not come out with force. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, V'yatza b'lo hargasha, d'ne yorek echeit. So we'll say this would be the nafkamina case. If you hold, like the first lashon, that ultimately, again, in order for a zera to be metame, it has to be felt throughout the body. So it could be that even initially, as long as it's felt throughout the body, even if it doesn't come out like an arrow, right? Even if it doesn't come out with strength, he's still tame. According to the second lashon, everything is dependent ultimately on how the zera exits the body. Milsa de pshit le Shmuel mi bay le Rava. That which was pasha to Shmuel was a kasha to Rava. The bay Rava nekra b'hargasha v'yatza sashalah b'hargasha. What happens if the zera? We'll say nekra literally means it was like dislodged or uprooted. What that means is that a person feels the sensation that the zera is going to come out. They feel that sensation, but when the zera comes out, it doesn't come out with strength, right? It's not yorik. It doesn't shoot like an arrow. It trickles out. So what's the status of that zera? Somehow, tashma, bal keri shetaval, below hitl mayo. So what's the interesting halacha? If a bal keri, right? Remember again, a man who has a seminal emission is tummy. So what's, remember again, it's tuma kala. He just needs to go to the mikvah. And ultimately, again, wait until nightfall. So what's, if you have a bal keri, went to the mikvah. Interestingly enough, what happens if he did not urinate since the time he had this seminal emission? So the case over here is he has a seminal emission, he goes to the mikvah, and only urinates for the first time afterwards. L'chishiyatel mayim tame. When he urinates for the first time after the seminal emission, he's going to become tame again. Right? Why, Rabbi Osai? Because again, there are droplets of zera that are mixed in with that urine. Therefore, again, amazing enough, even though he went to the mikvah, he's going to become tameh again. The Rabbi said, interesting, what's interesting about that case? The pashtos, that's zera that comes out how? Without a hargasha. Right, that zera is coming out while he's urinating. So that there is not like a seminal hargasha in that, and yet what do you see? That he's tameh. To which the Gemara says, shiny hasam, deruba bahargasha nafek. No. The difference over there is those droplets, are considered to be part of the initial seminal emission. And therefore, again, because the initial seminal emission came out bahargasha meaning that, again, it was yorek echeitz. It shot like an arrow, meaning it came out with force. Therefore, those droplets are considered to come out bahargasha as well. So it just happens to be an interesting halacha that apparently, again, that a bal keri would be makbid to urinate before going ahead and going to the mikvah. because also if he would not do so, then the mice, again, the moment he urinates for the first time after the emission, he would become tamei again. Quite interesting. Lishna achrina, another version of this, Amri Lei, Amr Shmuel, Kol shechvas zera shein yorik yecheitz, eino mazra'as. So we'll say, so ultimately, and Shmuel said, any shechvas zera that does not come out with force, like an arrow, ultimately, again, does not impregnate. To which the Gemara says, Azrihu delo mizra, hatamuyi metamya. So Shmuel is telling me it doesn't have the capacity to impregnate, but apparently it does have the ability to still become tamei. Shene'emar, ki yebecha ish asher lo yetar mikra, afilu keri ba'olam. So we'll say, so again, in this version, they're being medayik in Shmuel. That Shmuel is saying, whereas if the keri does not come out with force, it cannot impregnate, but it might still ultimately, again, cause tumas keri. Bayi Rava. So Rav asked the following kasha. So we'll say, so just interestingly enough, so again, what we begin to see is that halacha lemaisa, there has to be some, in order for a person to become a baal keri, there has to be some type of hargashas keri. So the shail is, what type of hargasha do you need? Is the hargasha just the internal hargasha that a man feels that he's going to have this emission, but he doesn't necessarily have to have any particular hargasha when the keri actually comes out of the body? Or is the hargasha actually the way in which the zera exits the body? If it's yorek echeitz, then ultimately, again, that's the hargasha that makes the keri tamei. If it's not yorek echeitz, then he will not be tamei. So that's the machlokis in the girsos over here. Bayi Rav, another interesting question. Oved kochavim shehir her, v'yarad v'taval mahu. So we'll say, what happens if an akum, right, had impure thoughts at night, right, or just had impure thoughts, and went ahead and, as a result, had a seminal emission, v'yarad v'taval, and he went to the mikvah, mahu. Right, so I will say, what is the halacha? Right, what is the halacha in such a situation? And I will say, now, what's happening over here? This is actually quite interesting. Look at Rashi. The yarad v'taval, Rashi says, l'shem gerus v'achar kach yatsa kerio. So I'll say, so listen to this interesting case. So the situation over here is you have an akum. He has thoughts which ultimately, again, cause a seminal emission. But the way this worked was, he had the thoughts. He felt the carry, right? He felt the carry. The lashon that's used over here is dislodging, right? So he felt that the carry is going to come out. Before it comes out, he goes to the mikvah, right? And then after he comes out of the mikvah, right? I mean, not a great way to start your Jewish life, but lemaise again, right? After he comes out of the mikvah, he has the seminal emission. So I'll say, so what's the shayla? So the shayla is mahu, right? The shayla is, so what's his status? So I'll say, so again, look at Rashi just a moment, mahu. Afidum tim salam ala gabi Yisrael d'chineka b'hargasha v'yetza shalom b'hargasha tamei da'azlina basar akira ha'cha lo nezlo basar akira da'hainu kula ho'g shu'o v'kam nekar v'tarhu m'esko. So let's listen to this. So the shayla is as follows. So what happens? What happens if he has a hargasha? He had a hargasha by the akira, right, when it was quote unquote internally dislodged, but did not have a hargasha ultimately again when it came out. So I'll say, so what do we do in such a situation like this? So mahu imtim tomar basra akira as linon. Do we say that we look at the hargasha by the internal dislodging? Hanimi l'chumra. We only say the l'chumra. Aval hacha de la kula, but I will say here where that will result in a kula. Because I will say, remember again, he had that hargasha of the akira when he was an akum, when he wasn't Jewish. So maybe again, we'll blow amrinon, old dilma loshna, or maybe not, maybe we just always say, as long as there was a hargasha by the akira, he's a balkari. And in this case, where he had the hargasha by the akira, but he was a guy when he had that hargasha, and he had no hargasha ultimately again by the emission itself. Therefore, he should be tar. Therefore, the Gemara says teku. So we'll say, so again, this comes down to the same machlokas. Here's what we know. We know that in order for a man to be a balkari, ultimately again, there has to be a hargasha. There has to be a sensation. What we're not clear on is, when do you need this sensation? Is it enough to feel the sensation ultimately again when it's internally dislodged? Or does he need to feel the sensation of the actual emission or not? So here's an incredible nafkamina, where the akum felt this sensation when it was dislodged, did not feel the sensation when it came out of his body. So if you go again, Basra Akira, he was a guy at the time of the Akira. Therefore, he would not be a Balkari. Otherwise, perhaps we only say that L'chumra, but not L'kula. Maybe you should go in this case, Basra. So everyone else, the Gemara says Teiku. Bayi Rava, next case. Zava Shenekra Mimei Ragla. So we'll say if you have a zava, ultimately again, where she nekra meiragleha means that she felt the need to urinate. So we'll say the Gemara uses this lashon of dislodging when a person feels something is ready to come out. right? Whatever it is. In the first case, it was zera. This case, it's urine. But it did not yet come out. So what happens? A zava. Now, both remember again, as the urine of a zava has the capacity to be metame, right? It's one of her emissions. So in this case, an interesting situation. So zava shenekru memi raglau. So a zava, her urine is dislodged, ready to come out. The yard of a tavla. So I'll say, what happens? She doesn't go to the bathroom. She goes to the mikvah. Or she now becomes tahar from her zivos. So what happens? Mahu. Bose, what happens now if she urinates after she goes to the mikvah? So what's the status of that urine? Imtim tzor basakira az linan hanimi lishich vazerd lo mazi nokitla. So I'll say, so if you say that we go basrakira after the dislodging, then what? So maybe the urine ultimately again should be tmeya, even though again it only comes out after she went to the mikvah, because it was quote unquote dislodged ultimately again when she was tmeya. Or maybe on the other hand, we always say that by zera, right? By zera, why? Because we always say by zera, there's no way to hold it back from coming out. In other words, even in the case of the Mishnah, where the coin could prevent it from coming out for a few moments, there is no way to hold that back. Masha inkein urine can be held back. Avameim ragla dematzi nakit lo. Odim alosh. Normally, there's no distinction. Teku. To which the Gemara says again, teku. So we'll say again, same type of case where something, right, some type of internal fluid is dislodged. So the shaila is, how do we view it? Do we judge it based on when it's dislodged internally, or do we judge it based on when it comes out of the body? Next case, by Rava, Ovedes Kochavim Zava. So we'll say, this is another interesting case. A non-Jewish Zava. Now we'll say, now what's the case of a non-Jewish Zava? It's very simply, every non-Jew has the rabbinic status of a zav, right? We saw this again beforehand, right? Every non-Jew, this was benos kusim, right? I will say this was the first Mishnah in the last parak. Rabbinically, every non-Jew has the status of a zav, which is why, again, you'd have to be careful with any of their emissions. So the Gemara says, over this kochavim zava shenekru memi ragla. So I'll say now, same type of case. So ultimately, again, Ovedes Kochavim, who is considered to be a Zav, she has to urinate. The urine dislodges. Then what happens? She doesn't urinate. Instead, what occurs? She goes to the mikvah, Amud Beis, the yard of a tavla, Mahu. She goes to the mikvah, right? And then ultimately, what happens? Comes out of the mikvah and then urinates. So we'll say, so what's the shayla? So the shayla is, ultimately, again, how do we view that urine? Is that considered to be the emission of a Zav or not? If you judge internal fluids at the time when they are on time when they are uprooted, maybe even then this would only apply to a Jewish woman whose tuma is daraisa. Whose tuma is ultimately again midrabanan, not odilma, or maybe not. Meaning anytime, both for rabbinic tuma and for biblical tuma, we go basar akira. We go at the time that the internal fluid ultimately again is dislodged, and therefore it would be tmeya. To which the Gemara says, teku. So I'll say, so halacha lemaisa, the fundamental shaila that's running through all of these things is as follows. That ultimately, again, we know it starts with shichva zera, because shichva zera, interestingly enough, the shaila is, we know there has to be a hargasha, some type of sensation. Is that sensation the internal sensation when the zera is dislodged, or it is the external sensation when the zera is yorek echeitz, when it shoots out like an arrow? We then take that discussion and we globalize it to other cases of internal fluids that are ultimately, again, dislodged. Is the identity of the internal fluid determined at the moment that it's internally dislodged, or is the identity determined by when it exits the body? So we'll say, so essentially the Gemara says, teku. The Gemara is not sure there's a machlokes about that in all of these cases. Good. Or with time, b'choshe. So let's remember again, next case in the Mishnah, or next statement in the Mishnah was, all of these forms of tumah, right? Whether it was nida, zava, zera, ultimately, again, are all tamei b'mashu. Right? The halacha is there's no shear for the tumah. Any amount of discharge ultimately goes ahead and conveys tumah. To which the Gemara says, Amar Shmuel, zav tzarech ki chasim aspia ama. For in order for a man to become a zav, there has to be, again, I will say literally translated, enough of a zav emission to cover the opening of the aver. So also you see that there is a shear for zav. Shene'emar, o hechtim b'sara mizavo. I've hanan t'ram etam b'chol shein. But one second, we just said in the Mishnah that ultimately, again, all of these emissions are metame. even with any small amount. So which one is it? So how could Shmuel come along and say that a Zav requires a small amount just to cover the opening of the Aver, if the Mishnah said that any amount is Metameh? Who the Amar Rabbi Nassim? So we'll say Shmuel holds like Rabbi Nassim. What does Rabbi Nassim say? This sound Rabbi Nassim, I'm sure Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Nassim is the name of Rabbi Shmuel. Zav tzarech kichasimas piya amo. That ultimately, again, in order for a man to become a Zav, he has to have an emission, right? The emission must be at least large enough, or a volume enough, to go ahead and cover the opening of the Aver. V'lo hodulo. But the Chachamim did not agree with Rabbi Yishmael. So we'll say, we have a fundamental machlokis over here about the halachas of Zav, right? Is there a shear for Zav or not? You have Rabbi Yishmael saying, yes, there must be at least enough of an emission to cover the opening of the Aver. The Drabanan is reflected in the Mishnah, ultimately saying that halacha l'maisa, any amount, ultimately, again, has the ability to convey tumah. My time, Rabbi Shmuel. What's Rabbi Shmuel's logic? Why does he hold this? So, because the pasuk says, "Ohichtim b'sara mezovo." So, we'll say literally again. What it means is literally, his flesh will be sealed from his zivos. So, we'll say Rabbi Shmuel says, "What does it mean? His flesh will be sealed from his zivos." What it means is the flesh sealed means that the opening, where the zivos comes from, the opening of the Aver, should be sealed ultimately again by the zivos, which tells me that in order for a man to become a Zav, there must be enough of an emission to cover the opening of the Aver. The Rabbanon will say, no, you need that for something else. Hahomi Baile, that teaches me a different halacha. Lach metame ve'eno metame yavish. It teaches me, Rabbanon, that as only a Zav emission that is wet, that is moist, has the ability to convey tumah. But once the Zav emission dries, it no longer has the ability to convey tumah. I have Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel will say agrees with that as well, but he learns that from elsewhere. Rabbi Shmuel, Hahu Meirar Nafka. We'll say he learns it out from the Lashon of Rar. So we'll say the Torah says, Vizostia tumaso bizovo, Rar bisaro. Rar means it flows from his flesh. So Rabbi Shmuel says, you see from here, the fact that the Torah uses Lashon of flowing tells me that what? That only when the Zav emission is in a liquid state, is in a flowing state, that it conveys Toma. Once it dries, it does not convey Toma. V'Rabbanan, what did the Rabbanan do with Rar? Hahuv l'minyana hudasa. But say, interestingly enough, they use that word Rar to teach you about the number of emissions. Listen to this. Because how did the Rabbanan darshan? Zovo chada. So I'll say, so again, the Torah uses a number of different Lashonos to speak about a Zav emission. So Zovo, his Zivos, Chada. That's one emission. Rar Bisaro, Trey. Rar Bisaro, will say, refers to a second emission. Es Zovo, Tlas. That refers to a third emission. Limeid Azov Bal Shalosh Re'ios, Shechayiv Bekarban. It teaches you that, so the fact that the Torah uses three different, speaks about the Zav emission three different times, indicates to me that what? That if a man has three Re'ios, he is Chayiv a carbon. I will say that's the Halacha of a Zav. Right? The Halacha of a Zav is if he has three Re'ios, ultimately Chayiv in a carbon. Oh, Hichtim Bisara Mizovo. Oh, ultimately, again, he will seal his flesh as a result of his Zivos. So I'm sorry. Oh, Hichtim Bisara Mizovo. Tame. Miktas Zovo. Tame. Limate al Zav Balshtei Re'ios Shemetame Mishkov Umoshav. So I'll say the Torah also teaches me about a Zav who has two Re'ios, teaching that what, although it takes three to come to a state of sacrificial obligation, if the Zav had two Re'ios, ultimately again, he's Metame Mishkov Umoshav. So I'll say we've seen all of these halachos of Zav before, right? Remember again, a Zav who has one Re'io, ultimately, again, it's only chayev to observe one day of Tara. A Zav who has two Re'ios is already metame Mishkov Umoshav. A Zav who has three Re'ios is going to require Shivanikiyam and also be obligated to go out and bring a karmon. Rabbi Shmuel, Minyana Minale, where does Rabbi Shmuel know about say the halachos of the counts? Namely, that two Re'ios be metame Mishkov Umoshav, three Re'ios generate sacrificial obligation. Nafkale mid Rabbi Simoi. He learns it from Rabbi Simai. The same Rabbi Simai Omer, Mana hakas of shtayim v'karatame shalosh karitama. So also Rabbi Simai says as follows: the Torah, when speaking about the zav, counts two re'ios and calls them tame, and counts three re'ios and calls them tame. So which one is it? Is it zav bal shtei re'ios tame, or a zav bal shalosh re'ios tame? Which one is it? To which the Gemara said, "Hakei," he said, "It's both shteim l'tuma. Two rios already convey to him, create a state of tuma, where he's metame tumas mishkav u'moshav v'shalosh l'karban. But it's only after three rios that he has sacrificial reliability. Ulaman denafkale tarvayhu mizos tia tumas b'zovo ish." So according to the opinion, learns all of this out from Zos Tiat Tumas Sobizavo. What does he do with the pasuk of Ish Ish Kiezab Mibsaro? Mibayle Ad Sheyetzei Mibsaro. So what's he use that pasuk to teach? Mean the halacha that we saw before, that a person is only tummy as a zav if what? When the emission actually exits his body. So let's say, as opposed to Nida, where she is Tamea, halacha lemaisa when the blood is still inside of her body, for a Zav, he'll only become Tamei when the Zivus actually exits his body. To which the Gemara says, Zovo Tamei Lamali. Why does he use the pasuk of Zovo Tamei? Limit al Hazov Shehu Tamei. That teaches in the Torah say that not only is the Zav himself Tamei, but what? The emission itself, the actual zivus, right? The actual emission ultimately is tamei as well. Incredible. I'm Rav Chani Loi. Rav Shimon. Rav Chani Loi says in the Rav Shimon. Shichvas zera. This is actually, I'll say, quite interesting. Shichvas zera l'roa b'mashu menogeh b'chadasha. Watch this, Rav Shimon. Comes along Rav Shimon and introduces a fascinating chilik. So I'll say, so remember again, the Mishnah told me that shichvas zera is metame b'mashehu, right? Any amount of zera that comes out, ultimately, again, is metame. Now, Elizabeth Shimon says, it depends. When we're talking about, again, nogea or roa. So we'll say, so Elizabeth Shimon says, shichvas zera l'roa b'mashehu. So we'll say, what does that mean? If a man has a seminal emission, any amount of zera that comes out conveys tuma. That's b'mashehu. But l'nogea, if someone touches Zera, so then I will say, ultimately, again, they become Tamei, but only if what? Only if there's a shear. What's the shear? What's the amount that you need for Tumas Maga when it comes to Shechva Zera? Ke'adasha, the size of a lentil. So Gemara says, 1 second, V'ha'anan, mitam b'chol shutinan, but our Mishnah said that Shechva Zera conveys Tumah b'mashu with any amount. My love, l'nogea, is that not also referring, I will say, not only to roa, but also to maga? To which the Gemara says, lo, l'roa. No, not true. The Mishnah is actually only talking about what? The Mishnah is talking about the man who experiences a seminal emission. How much zera do you have to emit in order to become tamei? The Mishnah says, even a mashu. But when it comes to tumas maga, it's possible that what? That you need the shear of an abdasha. So I'll say, so now this is going to be our new sugya. Tashma, here we go. Chomer b'shich v'azera mi b'sheretz, v'chor b'sheretz mi b'shich v'azera. There is a chumra that shich v'azera has more than sheretz, and a chumra that sheretz has over shich v'azera. How so? Chomer b'sheretz, the chumra of sheretz over shich v'azera, sheretz in chaluka tumaso. So I'll say, we're going to see what this means a little bit later on, but ultimately by sheretz, there is no chilik in its tuma. There is no distinction in its tumah. Masha'inkim b'shich v'azera. I will say b'shich v'azera, there is a chilek in its tumah. Now what the chilek is, we don't know yet. We'll see. Chom b'shich v'azera. I will say, what's the chum that shich v'azera has over sheretz? Sha'shich v'azera metamei b'chol shu. Shich v'azera is metamei with what? Any amount. Masha'inkim b'sheretz. Right, I will say ultimately again, sheretz is only metamei of what? B'chadasha. Right, you need a shear. Right, you need a lentil shear. So what do you see from here? You see from here that halacha lemaisa shichva zera is metame b'chol shu. So this contradicts the statement of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon wanted to say it's only time mashu b'riya, but b'mago you need chadasha. My love l'nogea is a brayza not talking about even contact with shichva zera and telling me again even a mashu of shichva zera is metame b'mago. Not like Rabbi Shimon, who says that for mago you need chadasha. Lo, l'roa. No, it's only talking about, again, riyah. It's only talking about emission. For emission purposes, even a man who emits any amount of zera is going to be tamei. Ultimately, again, but for maga, it could be that you need a shear, ultimately, again, of adasha. I v'ha gumya de sheretz katani, b'yeretz comparing it to sheretz, mas sheretz b'negiya, ashikh v'zera b'negiya. Let's remember, again, so sheretz only conveys tumahau through maga. So presumably when we're comparing Shechvas Zera Ultimately, again, Tesharetz, we're comparing to Masamago. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Adabar Ava, Shum Sheres Katani, Bishum Shichvas Zera Katani. Well, so we're not necessarily talking, we're talking about categories, right? Ultimately, again, the category of Tumas Sheres and the category, ultimately, again, of Shichvas Zera. The Sheres don't type a Mashu. So we'll say, is that true, ultimately, again, that a Sheres is not Matame in a Mashu, even with a small amount? Vonan, tonight we learned, Ha'ivarim Ein Lahem Shir. So this is interesting. If you have a complete limb of an item, that complete limb, so let's say if you just look at Rashi's moment, Rashi's Shum Sheretz Katani, Im Lucha Sheretz Mentame Mashu, Ava Shich Vazer Yesh Mentame Mashu, Ki Go Nero. So what's the saying over here is, in the category of Sheretz, there is nothing in the category of Sheretz that's Mentame Mashu. But there is something in the category of Shech Vazera, which is Matayim Mashu, which is what? Which is Re'iyah. But it's possible that for Maga purposes, all be the Halach. It's possible that for Maga, ultimately, again, you would need a Shear. So the Gemara says, V'teret v'sheres l'tayim Mashu. So you know what? We'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up in Mir Tashem with Sheres l'tayim Mashu. With this sugi, we'll finish off the Sheres Shech Vazera. So give Mir Tashem tomorrow.